Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, greetings and welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and on today's and tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be hearing from a good friend of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, Dr. Ben Carson, who recently spoke at a gathering here in Colorado Springs. Dr. Carson talks straight from the heart about the challenges facing our nation and what we can do about them. I know you will both be challenged and encouraged by what he has to share. First, though, a special announcement about a brand new Advent series courtesy of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. You know, the Christmas season is full of wonder and joy and hope. And of course, the reason for this, quite simply, is Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ is the center of the Christmas story. And you'll find that afresh in a brand new, specially created Advent series for you and your family. You can join JDFI's own Dr. Owen Strand, our senior director of the Dobson Culture Center, for a 12-day devotional approach to Christ's coming. Sign up today to receive our 12-day devotional series along with brand new teaching videos. These are perfect, especially if you have young children at home, kids or grandkids. The material is kept short and sweet, so little ones won't have to squirm their way through the content. For more information on how you can start receiving this 12-day Advent devotional series from the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, go online to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org for our brand new 12-day Advent series. Well, today's program is one of our favorites from 2024. In fact, we've included it in our 2024 Best of Broadcast Collection, a 6-CD set or a digital download that's available right now also at drjamesdobson.org. And by the way, even more exciting news to share. Throughout the month of December, every gift we receive here at Family Talk will be doubled thanks to some incredibly generous friends of our ministry. So go to drjamesdobson.org and reserve your copy of the 2024 Best of Broadcast Collection. And now, here is Dr. Ben Carson.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Candy and I are absolutely delighted to be here. And you know, I have to make a little confession before we start. Everybody does disclaimers these days. Have you noticed that? They say, I'm a member of this board or I belong to this organization, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. My disclaimer is I am not politically correct. So, that doesn't mean I intentionally try to insult people. I don't. I actually go out of my way not to do that. But have you noticed these days that you can't speak to a group of people without offending somebody? And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, they had this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They don't teach that to the kids anymore. Now they say, go to your safe space. And what kind of people are we bringing up when we do things like that? It's a serious, serious issue. But I actually believe that we're in the closing days of this earth's history. Now, if you read the Bible and it talks about what things are going to be like in the last days, I think we're there. And it would be like in the days of Noah, where there was constant evil everywhere. We have drag queens in front of our little elementary kids. Think about what it must be like. If the Lord doesn't come back soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But I think he is coming back soon. And the question is, what do we do while we wait? What do we do in our spheres of influence? And do we truly recognize the things that are happening? You know, the American dream is something that is so precious. You can go to any part of the world and they will tell you about the American dream. There's no other country that has a dream. We're the only ones. And part of that is because of the way that we were formulated. You know, we had some tremendous founders, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, all of these guys, they were very smart. And they studied every governmental system that ever existed in the history of the world. Why? Because they wanted to extract the best parts, leave the bad parts out. One of the things that became clear to them is that all governments end up essentially the same. Doesn't matter how they start. Doesn't matter how lofty their intentions are. They grow, they infiltrate, and they dominate. So they wanted to come up with a constitution that would prevent that from happening, and that would maintain a free society for the people. Now, the Europeans thought we were nuts. They said, you cannot run a country on the will of the people. You have to have a monarch. You have to have a ruling structure. But they were determined to come up with it. And during the 1787 Constitutional Convention, there was so much arguing and fighting, the whole thing was about to fall apart. And the elder statesman, 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin, got up and he said, gentlemen, stop. Let's get down on our knees and let's seek wisdom from God. And they knelt down and they prayed and they got up and they finished the Constitution of the United States, which I think was a divinely inspired document if we're willing to follow it. But when Franklin came out of the building, he was asked, sir, what do we have, a monarchy or a republic? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. We're as close right now to losing it as we have ever been. And we all have a role to play. We all have a sphere of influence that can help to maintain that type of republic that we have with fairness and justice for everybody. But, you know, I had a dream. My American dream was to be a doctor. I loved medicine. It didn't matter what it was. Dr. Casey, Dr. Kildare, man, I was all over that stuff. I even liked going to the doctor's office. I would gladly have a shot just so I could smell the alcohol swabs. Anything, anything that had to do with medicine. Maybe not a COVID shot, but it's not that I'm anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I do believe in real science. And, you know, it's interesting. We had people advocating that children should be vaccinated for COVID. Children who have a 0.025% chance of death or major morbidity if they get COVID. And you have no idea what the long-term effects of these vaccines are. And here's the good thing. Only 13% of adults had their kids vaccinated. That means the American people are a lot smarter than you give them credit for. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to know that. But, you know, my dream was unfortunately derailed by the fact that I was a terrible student. And my mother was extremely concerned. And my mother was, next to God, the most important factor in my early life, because, you know, she was from a huge family and got married at age 13, achieved less than a third grade education, and then discovered that her husband was a bigamist some years after marriage. And she was so affected by that, she was so depressed, that she actually tried to commit suicide. Took a handful of pills, and fortunately was found before she died. They pumped her stomach and got her to school. But if she'd been successful, I certainly wouldn't have been standing here today. You know, the Lord intervenes in our lives, and He has plans, and they go far beyond the plans that we have. But we all encounter people who are in desperate situations. And we need to do something about it. When she was in the hospital, she met a woman, a Christian woman, who really introduced her in a serious way to the Lord. And it made a tremendous difference in the rest of her life. And even when I was this terrible student, she was always the one who was saying, Benjamin, you're much too smart to be bringing home grades like this. I brought them home anyway, but she was always having, you know, these things to say and being encouraging while everybody was teasing me about being a dummy. But I did admire the smart kids. I would never tell them that I admired them, but I did. This one kid was the smartest kid around. His name was Steve. And he would always come up to you after a test and put his A in your face and say, let me see yours, let me see yours. You wanted to let him see it, all right. But but I would always say to myself, not to him, he's the same age as I am. How does he know all this stuff? How can he be so smart? And I really was very impressed with him. But I wasn't very impressed with myself. I didn't think that I was smart either. But when my mother prayed and asked for wisdom, God gave it to her, or at least in her opinion. My brother and I didn't think it was wise at all. I mean, turning off the TV and making us read books and submit to her written book reports that she couldn't read. We didn't think that was smart. But we didn't know she couldn't read them. But interestingly enough, even though I hated it in the beginning, I actually began to love reading those books because between the covers of those books, I could go anywhere, I could be anybody, I could do anything. And poverty was gone for that time while I was in that book. But I started reading about incredible people, entrepreneurs, explorers, scientists, and surgeons. And as I read about their lives, it dawned on me that the person who has the most to do with what happens to you in life is you. It's not somebody else. I stopped listening to all the negativity and the people who were saying, you can't do this and the system's against you. I just threw all that stuff in the garbage. Started thinking about what I could do. I was always reading. If I had 5 minutes, I was reading a book. I became the bookworm. And within the space of a year and a half, I went from the bottom of the class to the top of the class. And I remember going up to Steve after a test. And I said, Steve, how'd you do in the test? And he poked out his chest. He said, I got a 91. And I said, well, gee, that's too bad. I got 100. And I said, next time if you need help, let me know. I was probably a little obnoxious. But you know, here's the key thing. I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people in our spheres of influence, and certainly those people who are within our household? But, you know, when you start thinking about the human brain, you realize that we are made in the image of God. Think about the human brain, billions and billions of neurons, hundreds of billions of interconnections. It remembers everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever heard. Your brain can process 2 million bits of information in 1 second. You can't overload it. People tell you you're going to overload your brain. You can't overload the brain. If you learn one new fact every second, it would take you more than 3 million years to challenge the capacity of your brain. That is an incredible thing. And think about how quickly it develops. You got a male gamete with 23 chromosomes, female gamete with 23 chromosomes, neither one of which has the ability to become a human being. And then fertilization occurs. They fuse together and all of a sudden you've got a zygote, 46 chromosomes, complete genetic map for a human being. Not part of the mother, not part of the father, a new individual whose brain is developing with millions of new neurons every single day. Within 6 to 8 weeks, you see little eye buds, little earbuds, little fingers and toes, and a heart that's beating. It's hard to say that that is not a human being. And voila, 9 months, out pops this little energetic ball of energy, pooping and peeing and eating. But it's so cute, you don't care. But that brain is still developing at a rapid rate, even at that point. That's why babies sleep so much. Newborns sleep 20 to 22 hours a day because that brain is continuing to develop, and it continues to develop right into your 20s. Your brain does not mature until then, some people, and even beyond that. But think about where we are as a society. When we expect children with immature brains to make life-altering decisions about whether they're a male or a female. Think about that. Isn't that the reason that God gave children parents? To protect them from people who would take advantage of their immature brains, of their natural curiosity, of their suggestibility? And as Charlie was saying, you know, we have responsibility. We need to speak out against these kinds of things that are occurring in our society. And as we're becoming more secular, look what's happening to us. Increased crime, increased hatred, increased immorality, all kinds of things. Our families are falling apart. There's only 23.1 million traditional nuclear families left in our country. And some people say that this is all of recent origin. But I would have to take exception to that. It's not of recent origin. And if you look at the congressional record from January the 10th, 1963, congressional record, extension of remarks of Honorable A.S. Herlong, Jr. of Florida in the House of Representatives, it gives the 45 goals of communism in America over 60 years ago. I'm not going to read all 45, but just a sampling, like number 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teacher associations, put the party line in textbooks. Number 20, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. Gain control of key positions in random TV and motion pictures. Continue discrediting American culture. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Number 40, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. Does that sound like stuff that's going on? They've been working at it for a while. You know, we think we won the Cold War, but they were planting the seeds of the destruction of our society, of the fundamental change of our society many, many years ago. That's why Khrushchev said to Eisenhower, your grandchildren's children will live under our system, and we won't have to fire one shot. Because we're being played, we're being manipulated. And it's so important that we actually understand that that's what's happening to our nation, if we're going to make a change. And then there's such a big push to eliminate our faith, our Judeo-Christian values, our belief in God. You know, as a person who grew up with a scientific background, I had an interesting perspective as I listened to the professors talk about ways that we didn't need God. And these are people who claim to be scientists. talking about things like the Big Bang Theory. There was nothing, and then there was something, and then there was a Big Bang, and everything was organized perfectly into our solar system. I mean, I don't want to say stupid, but I mean, that is ridiculous, especially if you apply science, like the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, which says things move toward a state of disorganization. They're saying there's a big explosion and everything becomes perfectly organized. And I've asked some Nobel Prize winning particle and nuclear physicists to explain that. And their answer always comes down to, well, we don't understand everything. And I say, I don't know that you understand anything, quite frankly. And then there are the atheists who think that people who believe in God are total idiots. I was once involved in a public debate in Hollywood. It was myself and Francis Collins on the side of believing in God, and Richard Dawkins and David Dennett on the side of the atheists. And at the end of the discussion, I said to Dawkins, "You win, because you've convinced me. I came from God, and you came from a monkey." And of course, the audience just died, and he was mortified. But it's kind of true. But they do have their gods, like environmentalism. You know, at UNC last night, there was a student who stood up in the middle of my presentation and started talking about climate change. And, you know, I just told him he needed to respect his fellow students and sit down and wait until Q&A, which he was embarrassed enough that he did. But when he came back and he asked, "Do you or do you not believe in climate change and that we're contributing to the downfall of man with all the things we're doing?" Well, of course, God told us to take care of our environment. I said, we have a responsibility to take care of the environment for ourselves and for those who are coming after us. But I said, the climate is always changing. I said, when the climate stops changing, we all die. And of course, the whole auditorium broke out in laughter, and he was so embarrassed he went and sat down at that point. But that is their God, climate change. They try to sort of connect everything to that in order to be able to control it, because if you accept what they have to say, then you have to accept their solutions for it. And their solutions are solutions that control you. Solutions like everybody has to drive an electric car by 2035, even though there's no infrastructure to support the driving of electric cars. And telling us that fossil fuels are causing all the problems when we've learned how to extract fossil fuels and use them in a way that has given us the cleanest air and water that we've ever had. They don't think about those kinds of things.
Well, that's a powerful message from Dr. Ben Carson here on Family Talk, and we're just getting started. Part two will be coming up on our next program. Well, if you enjoyed today's broadcast, you will definitely want to request the 2024 Best of Broadcast Collection. We've gathered our most impactful programs from the past year, including this one, into one 6-CD set, and we would love to send you a copy as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. So request your copy when you call us at 877-732-6825, or make sure you go to drjamesdobson.org and express your request, whether you'd like a 6-CD set or a digital download. And here's even more good news. All throughout the month of December, your donation goes twice as far. Some generous friends of our ministry have offered to match every donation dollar for dollar all the way up through December 31st. So if you make a $100 donation today in support of the Family Talk ministry, it will be doubled, or a $500 donation will be doubled as well. Now, you can send that gift as you make your request for the Best of Broadcast CD collection. To make your secure donation online, go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can write to us at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Be sure to join us again next time right here for part two of Dr. Ben Carson's powerful message about protecting our country and our freedoms. That's coming up right here on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.